I will tell you what, you guys have the privilege of probably being to the largest socially distanced birthday party in Westerville. Today is my birthday. Right? So I bet there will be nobody else in Westerville, Columbus, anywhere that's going to have 900 people socially distanced for their birthday on their birthday in one day. So it's probably like a Guinness Book of Records thing. So you guys get the privilege of being part of that. And 25 never looked so bad. But I've kind of given up on figuring out how old I actually am because I don't want to know that number. I hope you all were able to attend our Christmas services. On Christmas Eve and Eve, we held 10 services, and just God blessed us with over 2,000 people that came out to our Christmas services. Amen. 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 God is so good. We're so encouraged that in this difficult time, people continue to want to be in church and bringing others to hear from God, and especially now with everything going on. And even today, you all, most of you were just at church 2 or 3 days ago, and the room is packed. So it's just incredible what God is doing. And as we come to the end of 2020, did you think we'd ever get here to finally be able to flip the calendar and to get rid of those four nasty numbers? I mean, we've joked about it. We've cried about it. We've cussed at it. And here we are, finally ready to turn the page on 2021. So kind of a topic for my message today is, what now? That's what I want to talk to you about. Is how do we keep going strong in our faith after what we've been through in 2020? Collectively, we've experienced one of the most historic events in history with COVID, with quarantine, economic lockdowns, and not only that, but with political and social unrest we've experienced. It's literally changed everything. And as my wife pointed out, much like my pant size has changed. I mean, who hasn't gained weight over the quarantine period? We won't talk about that. We've certainly experienced changes here at Genoa as well. Whoever thought that church would look this way? With, we take an offering in a 5-gallon bucket. We're not allowed to hug one another. The pastor would be on a scissor lift preaching to a parking lot where people honk their horn instead of saying amen. Amen. That's right. What an awesome 8 months it's been. And I will tell you this, as a pastor here at Genoa, we are confident as a staff that this church is filled with the most gracious, God-loving, go-with-the-flow congregation of any church in Ohio. And we love you guys for everything you've been through and how gracious you have been. As pastors, we could not ask for a better congregation. You guys are awesome. It was kind of funny this year. Every year we get together as a staff. We plan out the upcoming year. VBS, camps, conferences, etc. 2020 was no different. We gathered, we had an encouraging message on ministry, we got our schedules out to lay out the framework for 2020. As the great theologian Mike Tyson said, we all have a plan until you get punched in the face. That punch in the face was 2020. I think 2020, we all had plan of at least thoughts on how the year would go, what vacations would look like. Remember those vacations? What graduations would look like, job futures, what our schooling for our children would maybe be the same as it had been for decades prior. Instead, everything got turned around completely upside down. It's a joke in our house now that when anything goes wrong, my wife will say, well, that got 2020'd. And I will say, parents with school-age children, how many do we have in here that are parents of like elementary, high school? All right, quite a few. I think you guys have been impacted more than anyone. I mean, parents have not only had to keep trying to work from home, but become teachers and work through the technology to help their kids stay on track of their on top of their lessons. Now, I have two daughters. One just turned 20. The other is 17. And I'm telling you what, every day my wife and I have thanked God that this did not happen when our kids are younger. For two things. One, I would be in jail, and my kids would be in social services. So it's very good that our kids are you know, they're kind of through all that. But God bless you for the parents that are dealing with that. And no matter who you are, no matter what your situation is, no doubt 2020's had an impact. Between job losses, marriages being stressed to the brink, health crisis, losing loved ones, not being able to see them, or them being able to see you. Anxiety and depression has been at an all-time high. Pastor Frank talked about it in his services on Christmas Eve. This is serious stuff. And it's taken a toll on every single person in this room. We're exhausted. We're discouraged. And if we're honest, we're not sure if 2021 is going to be much better. But today, what I want us to look at is how do we keep going? And not just keep going, but how do we keep going victoriously? Okay? And not just dealing with 2021, but how can we be victorious in it? So how do we find victory when our expectations are shattered? We're discouraged, and the reality we find ourselves in leads us to want to quit. To quit on our families, to quit trying to keep it all together, to quit caring, maybe even to quit on God. It would be easy to quit. 2020 has certainly given us a lot of reasons to quit. But as Christians, we know better. We have the truth of God's word and his promises to sustain us and keep us going. Today we're going to look at what I think are two of the most encouraging passages in the New Testament. And this one won't be on the screen, but I'll read it to you and just kind of take it all in as I read it. It's found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. We have not stopped praying for you, Paul says. We've continually asked God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Church, it's all right there in a nutshell. When we seek to know God's will and to gain his wisdom and understanding, we'll be strengthened. And with his power and might, not our own, none of this comes from us, that we may have endurance and patience. That is where it all comes from. It comes from his strength, not ours. And get this, the joy we have while we're enduring this is because we have been rescued from that dominion of darkness. We have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Paul talks about endurance and patience because he knows that in this world we will have trouble. But as Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. He reminds us in this passage that our hope, our joy comes from knowledge, the knowledge that we have been rescued. And our inheritance is not of this world, is not of this mess that we find ourselves in 2020, but it's rather in the kingdom of heaven. That's the backdrop. That is the big picture of where our power comes from and the source of our joy, our redemption. There's a second passage I want us to look at today, which is in Hebrews, and it's on your bulletin, and I'll have slides up as well. It's in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And if you look on the screen here, you'll see it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Again, what an incredible passage. This passage puts it in the analogy of a race, but it gives us a more practical application of how we can run this race with perseverance. And I think that's the one thing, is it's great to have the knowledge of God's word, but it's also great to have the wisdom of how to use it. Now, let me just start out by saying, I want to talk about one little phrase in here quickly, and it's the phrase, the race marked out for us. I could do a whole sermon on that phrase alone, but I'll spare you. It's how God has our entire journey, our race, marked out for us before we're even born. There's no surprise that, you know, there are no surprises that turn up in this course to God. He didn't wake up one day in March 2020 and get surprised about this thing called COVID. We have an omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent creator of the universe who is in charge of everything. He's in charge of all. And guess what? He wins. Amen? So let that encourage your heart today. God is already there at the finish line. He is with you every step of the way. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Your race may look different than the person that's in the seat next to you, but it's a race that is marked out, get this, for you by an almighty God who loves you and wants his best for you. But that's another sermon for a whole nother day. So we'll push that aside, but I had to get that out. Now at the beginning, we see in this passage, what's the very first word in that passage? Therefore. All right. So when a writer says therefore, we know that we need to look at the previous chapter to see what he's referring to. And chapter 11 of Hebrews is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. The chapter details the lives of many men and women in the Old Testament that lived by faith to accomplish great things for the Lord. By faith, they achieved great wonders and so bore witness to the truth of God in the Old Testament. The writer wants his audience to understand that they are not alone in this race of life, that thousands upon thousands have run this race before them. And having attained their crowns, they watch from their heavenly seats as spectators watching a race. Now, I'm not a runner, like some of you may be in this room that do marathons. I'll be honest, the only thing I actually run for is an ice cream truck. At 46, I still, when I hear that music, I'm out the end of the driveway looking at where they are. And my only spectators are usually the five-year-olds trying to stay out of my way. It's true. I actually chase them down in my GTO. We get out there, I hear it, and I'm out chasing down the ice cream truck. It's embarrassing. But I will tell you this, guys. Though I'm not a runner, I have run in the past, and running a race is hard work. It's challenging. What we are all called to do day in and day out is one of the greatest challenges we'll ever face. You can get discouraged and want to quit, or you want to slow down. The people on the sidelines cheering you on are there to motivate and encourage. They're proud of you and want to see you win. Or maybe they just want to make sure you're not going to die. But they're on your side. They're cheering you on. Everyone can use some encouragement, especially in this race called life. So that's important to know, that the writer is giving us that encouragement about our heavenly onlookers, about those that are cheering us on that have come before us. Now let's look at the next part of this verse. We're going to get into what we have to do. What is our part in this race? All right, and you'll see on the screen up there, you'll see the second part of verse 1, and it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. In order to run this race, we need to throw off everything that would block us from running. And this brings us to my first point. If we're going to run the race, we need to let go. We need to let go. What are we letting go of? Well, every hindrance. What's a hindrance to you running your race? Maybe it's a distraction. like games on your phone that waste time or excessive money spent on hobbies. I'm kind of speaking about myself there. Would you realize that you could be doing something for the Lord with those resources instead of just wasting time? Or maybe it's your focus that you have on your past. You can't stop thinking about the bad things that have happened to you or your family in 2020, or the anxiety about the future of what is to come, in January and February and March. You just can't seem to run because you're stuck in worry mode all the time. Maybe it's that idea of paralysis by analysis. You've analyzed everything so much that you've crippled yourself to the point where you can't move. And notice in the verse on your bulletin, it says, all hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares. Two different things. Hindrances are one thing, but he says, and the sin. Something the Lord has pointed out to you. You know, maybe it is sin. Maybe the Lord has pointed out something to you that you know is wrong, but we keep going back to it anyway. We rationalize our sin. We hide it away. And maybe nobody knows about it, but God does. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he looks on the heart. All these things will keep us from running the race well. In Celebrate Recovery, we call these hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And folks, we all got them. Going through life holding on to these is like trying to run a marathon with a bowling ball tied to your leg. It's like trying to run while you're carrying two suitcases. It will hold you back. It will keep you from doing everything that God has called you to do. And it'll be this huge dead weight that'll keep you from living that victorious life. If we're going to be serious, guys, about getting out of neutral in 2021, because quarantine really put us right into neutral, didn't it? Literally. If we're going to get out of this stuck zone of feeling defeated, downcast, depressed, overwhelmed, I'm here to tell you that the answer is to not keep wallowing in that pit of despair. But we need to take action. And that first step is to let go of what you know is holding you back. I would ask you that, what are your hurts that you can't seem to let go of? What habits do you know are not God's best for your life, but you just can't seem to stop? What are you hung up on that is holding you back from running the race that God wants you to run? Let's look at the next part of the verse on the screen and in your notes. It says, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. This brings me to my second point. So we had let's go, and this one is get going. We got to get going. We have to decide to actually run the race. We have to, there's a shoe company that said, just do it. And apparently the shoes help, I don't know. But the idea of just do it, what exactly does that mean? It means that doing all the things you know that God wants you to do. It's walking in the light, as our verse in Colossians pointed out, growing in wisdom and understanding of the Spirit so that we might bear fruit and do good works. The Bible is very clear why we are here in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. You know my favorite part of this entire verse? That we are God's handiwork. You may feel defeated. You may feel depressed. You may feel down. You may feel like quitting. You may feel like stopping. You may feel like checking out. And you sit there and you look at yourself and you say, who am I? What am I? What a mess I am. But I will tell you this right now, that Ephesians 2:10 says that you're God's masterpiece. You may not look like it in the mirror when you wake up. You may see somebody that's struggling with anxiety, depression, numerous other things, but I will tell you that you are God's masterpiece. And an artist loves their masterpiece. It's inspired. We are the inspired creation of God. We are his masterpiece. So don't ever look at yourself and say that you're trash, because I guarantee you God would firmly disagree. We have to know where God wants us to be spiritually. We have a race let out in this world for us. He made this race for us, but we have got to get off the starting line. What is it that you know that you need to do, but you haven't started? Is it reading your Bible more? Maybe it's reading it at all. It might be setting aside a dedicated prayer time. Maybe it's volunteering in a certain ministry or setting up regular giving. You know, whatever it may be, it's time to start. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We could say, well, maybe I'll work in the nursery next week. Why not today? I mean, I'm not called to work in the ministry, but the nursery. I am called to ministry, not the nursery. I guess I shouldn't say that when I'm pastoring, but yeah, preaching. I am called to ministry. Just not babies. No, I'm done with those days. Remember that we're all called to run. But we all have a specific course outlined by God Himself. What is He calling you to? God's directives are fairly simple. It's love God, love others. So there's two main objectives we need to get going on. Is to grow in our spiritual maturity, in our relationship with Him. The second, serving the body of Christ and the world around us. So that brings me to the second question I'd like to ask you guys is, what is it you need to get going on? What is it you need to get going on? What do we need to start? And that brings me to the third point, which you'll see on the slide up there, is stay focused. Staying focused. The verse talks about running with endurance. That means that you keep going no matter what. You don't get halfway through the race and just stop. But how can we endure when the course seems uphill and it's raining and we just can't feel our feet anymore and it's horrible and we ask ourselves, why in the world am I running? This is awful. Why would I put myself through this? Where does the strength come from to keep going? And let's look at our passage again on the screen and in your notes. It's, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes on Him and not the things of the world. Or look at Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. It's up on the screen for you. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and will walk and not be faint. Our strength, our ability to persist, our energy comes from the person of Jesus Christ. It is His strength, not our own, that renews us. I'm the facilitator over Celebrate Recovery here at Genoa. Actually for the last 10 years, and a couple of my leaders are in here, and just I am blessed with fantastic leaders. One of the biggest things we hear in Celebrate Recovery is, I can't. People say, I've tried, I can't. I've tried 9 times, I can't. Well, you know what? Maybe the 10th time's going to work. We have numerous individuals that have gone to rehab 6, 7, 8, 9 times. The 10th time takes, and they get sobriety through God's renewal and God's strength and God's restoration. I will tell you this, that in this race, we're all going to fall. We're all going to stumble, I guarantee you. We're going to stumble. But falling is not the failure. Failure is not getting back up. That's failure. Just like anybody that runs a marathon, you see them, they crawl up. People help them get up. They'll stumble and bang up their knees. That's not failing. That's a race. That's what race is. You know, it's hard work. It's challenging. Failure is when we don't get back up. Just like in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the faithful did not always have success in their lives. Now think about this. Moses killed somebody. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Gideon was a coward. The list goes on and on. They fell but got back up and accomplished unbelievable things for God's kingdom. Through God, through His strength, they did great things for God. These are the crowd of witnesses we have cheering us on. They weren't perfect, But they loved the Lord, they sought the Lord, they let the Lord lead their lives, and from his strength, they persevered and did incredible things for the kingdom. We will stumble and fall. It's not if, but when. You all will have valleys, you will get tired, burned out, and ready to quit. But when your hope is in the Lord, he will renew you. He will keep you, keep getting you back up when you fall. Point your eyes towards Jesus, and remember our third point. Look at Jesus, stay focused. That's where our focus has to be, is on him. Not all the distractions of the world. Satan wants nothing more than to flood us with distraction. Because if we're distracted, guess what? We'll struggle to follow Jesus Christ. And that is the exact thing he wants from us. Satan wants to pull us away, distract us, get us caught up in many, many, many different things that we can do. We have to fight, and it's going to be a struggle to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Because when we do that, we're going to be able to walk straight and stay focused. Because the one thing I know is that straight living can't come from crooked thinking. Straight living cannot come from crooked thinking. So my last question today, what are you focused on? What am I focused on? Are you focused on all that's going wrong? Or maybe you're focused, what may go wrong in the future? Are you stuck behind the starting line because of baggage? You can't even get to the starting line because of that? What do you need to let go of today? What do you need to get going on? And where is your focus?